The 16th of April falls into the month of April, which is Emotional Overeating Awareness Month. How often do you find yourself getting specific food and eating a little bit more than what you would, all because of the way that you're feeling? Had a tough day at work? You're probably thinking, I maybe just want to grab an ice cream or grab a slice of cake. Or maybe you already know, oh, I know exactly what I need to eat. On a tough day, I need to get that particular chocolate. It's the only thing that works for me, which I think is great. But have you ever found yourself in a place where you do that and then you're like, it's just been a tough season. I'm just going to have another one and I'm going to have another one. And before you know, it's become so part of you, you're actually not aware of how much you're overeating, one, but two, how much of it is actually fueled by emotions. Emotional overeating. It's this part of reality that many of us don't usually speak about, are not quick to identify it in our own lives. And as a result, that's why we've got joining us on the line to help us navigate this conversation, Barry Viljoen, who's a clinical psychologist with the South African Society for Clinical Psychology, joining us on the line to help us understand this seemingly vague, seemingly hard to pick up, but seemingly common world that is emotional overeating. Barry, thank you for joining us. Welcome to Drive 3 to 6.
Thank you so much for having me.
Barry, it's great to be chatting to you, even though it may be a conversation that I think a lot of people may struggle to fully comprehend into. Do I fall into this? Where do I know if it is or not? And is this conversation of emotional overeating? How would you define it? Maybe let's start there before we get into any other details.
No, fantastic. I think you've raised such an interesting point there. And I think especially mental health, which can often be one of the reasons why people struggle to understand mental health and challenges and disorders, is that disorder is typically seen as a significant deviation or dysfunction in behavior. And that can be with regards to thinking, emotion, and causes distress and impairs functioning and or both. So it's important that these behaviors or feelings aren't necessarily strange or unusual in themselves in isolation, but rather they're often extreme versions of what's normal. So when we're thinking about emotional overeating, like you said, it's when someone eats not because they're physically hungry, but it is the way in which they're coping as their coping mechanism with regards to feelings. So things like stress, sadness, boredom, loneliness, and even happiness at some times. And then food often can become used as a way then to soothe or to distract from these emotions, offering temporary comfort or escape. And it's not really about the food itself, but it's more about just the using eating as a way to manage these emotions, to dispel the difficult feelings that we have such trouble with self-soothing with.
You know, I'm so glad that you make mention of these different emotions that people may be experiencing. It's not just with down emotions, but also with moments of gladness. But Barry, maybe you could help us understand what some of the more common triggers are for that overeating that lead most people into that. I know you may have touched on one or two of them, but what are some of the more common ones that are found?
So look, I think the most common one there is stress, of course. So that's one of the biggest ones, especially we all hear how fast and fast paced moving our life is at the moment. And we know that when stress hits, you know, our body releases a hormone called cortisol. And the increase of that can often increase cravings, especially with regards to high fat or high sugar, and often what I refer to as comfort foods. Then things like sadness and depression is always one that is a big one. You know, food becomes a temporary mood booster, especially things like carbs and sweets, which can affect our serotonin levels and give us a short-term relief, you know, the quick upper, you know, when we just want something. Boredom is actually one of the highly rated ones as well, and that becomes something to do when there's nothing else that's stimulating. It fills time, and especially when there's no physical hunger, you know, that's a big one as well. Loneliness is another one. So, you know, for some, eating can feel like a way to fill an emotional void. It creates a sense of comfort, you know, company, and especially during long and quiet moments when we're feeling very much alone with ourselves and uncomfortable. Anxiety is a big one as well. So physical restlessness can lead to, you know, a mindlessness or compulsive eating as a way to self-soothe and to regain a sense of control, again, because of the hormones that get released when we eat. You know, anger is a big one as well, which is an interesting one, anger or frustration. It's lower down the list, but it's there. And food can often act as an outlet for venting emotions that feel hard to express directly, especially if someone, you know, has been taught to suppress and avoid conflict. So especially if throughout your life you've been told not to be angry, not to fight, it could just be a way of managing those emotions. When you said happiness or celebration, that's an interesting one, also down the list. But you know, it's not only about the negative emotions. Some people eat when they're happy, when they're celebrating, and they reward themselves, you know, but then they can overdo it, you know, just not having a piece of cake, but rather having the whole cake. Fatigue is an interesting one, and especially when we're tired, our brain craves what we call quick energy, often leading to cravings for sugary and high-carb foods. You know, so again, our willpower is a bit lower, and we're not too bothered about eating right or eating, you know, good quality food, rather those kind of things that are those emotional crutches we pull into.
You know, when you speak about the fatigue one, I'm relating so much because I've... I think I lost you there for a moment. I was just saying, when you speak about the fatigue one, I relate to that so much because I look over my life, how many days at the end of a long day, I just feel like, okay, let me just quickly pop by a filling station and quickly grab something. But that turns into today and then tomorrow and then the day after, which brings me to this question. I got a message where someone was saying there was a stage where she was eating 9 to 10 slabs of chocolate per day. Mm. Now, here's the thing, Barry. When I start with my first slab once a week and becomes twice a week and becomes 3 times a week once a day, I don't know at which point is it then overeating, like emotional overeating. Like I don't know if there's a quantity or there's a point that will indicate to me that, because if you're starting to pick up, say, I don't know, some mathematical equation, are there certain indicators or signs that would say to me, this is a point of concern that you want to pay attention to this? And you may be finding yourself that you are an emotional overeater without you even realizing that's what's going on. And you're just thinking you're rewarding yourself for a tough week.
Sure. And I think that's like with all of these kind of challenges, they start off quite benign and they come across as quite normative. And then suddenly out of nowhere, it becomes a problem. So, and I think it is going to be different from person to person. So some of the subtle signs we can look at are things like cravings that come on suddenly. So unlike physical hunger, which builds gradually, emotional hunger often hits fast and feels urgent. It's a need. I need like chocolate right now, like you were saying. And if I don't have it, things will be terrible. You know, eating for specific comfort foods or eating of specific comfort foods. So if someone frequently craves high-fat, sugary, or high-carbohydrate foods, especially during emotional lows, that's often a telltale sign that you're eating more for the emotion as opposed to physical hunger. So, you know, again, another one is eating despite not actually being physically hungry. So if meals or snacks happen even when the person just ate or isn't feeling true hunger cues, you know, that could also be a possible sign. So what about things like food as a reward or an escape? Say, I've deserved this after a long day. It's been a hard day. I've achieved things. Or reaching for food as a way to unwind, you know, after a stressful and tiring day, where it becomes, like you say, a common emotional habit. Very different from, you know, today I'm actually really tired. I'm just going to go past the garage and get a pie to, you know, I should have a pie now because I'm feeling tired. I'll feel better after that. Mindlessness or distracted eating is another big one, where eating while zoning out, you know, things like watching TV, scrolling on social media, not really being present or mindful of the fact that we're eating food. And it's a way of detaching emotionally or avoiding feelings. And I think that's where, you know, we can maybe talk about a bit later. Things like mindful eating is a huge thing as well. Or it's very helpful.
Carry on.
Oh, no, I just wanted to go through just two other big, well, there's a couple other ones that they kind of highlight. You know, there's the feelings of guilt and shame after eating. So, of course, you know, when you're feeling, I can't believe I've eaten this much chocolate. I'm a terrible person for doing that. You know, patterns obviously linked to mood swings that, you know, when you start to realize, like, oh, I'm not feeling great, and that's when I tend to do this. Then things like skipping meals after overeating is a big one because you feel guilty about you've eaten too much or you've eaten things you shouldn't, then you choose not to. And then using food to delay, you know, difficult emotional tasks. You know, so instead of dealing with my problems, I'm rather going to eat now. Instead of doing my homework, I should eat another meal. I don't know if that helps you.
That definitely helps. You know, that guilt one. I'm speaking about myself. I've been there in at times where it's like you've had a little bit too much of that good slice of cake or whatever it is, or donuts. And eventually you feel like, man, I can't believe I ate so much. And that guilt that weighs afterwards, it's such a real thing, Barry. But let's get into... You know, there is so much more. It's really, like you rightfully said earlier on, it's not about the food per se. It's about what's happening in the background that's leading this person towards the food. How important then is therapy or counseling or addressing this, the psychological kind of foundation that's resulting in the result we see, which is emotional overeating?
Oh, hugely. I mean, because remember, these are paths that are coming probably from childhood where you've learned instead of dealing with emotions, you're actually just using food to do it. You know, things like, you know, because it's basically it's replacing a coping mechanism and healthy coping mechanisms. So, I mean, some of the reasons for that is, you know, obviously, you know, food is socially acceptable. You know, it's not as though you're going to drugs or anything like that. You know, it creates an immediate feeling of comfort. It's often learned from a very early age. It distracts us from our current difficult emotions. You know, it doesn't require any kind of actual vulnerability to eat. It often fills a void, literally, sometimes, as well as symbolically, which is, I think, more frequently the more kind of pressing one. And also, it's often linked to, you know, if we think about so much of our lives and our cultures across this country, that food is linked to celebration. You know, think about it. We celebrate our birthdays. We celebrate getting jobs, celebrate weddings, all of those, you know, birth of a child, all of those kinds of things. It's so linked and heavily linked with food. So like you're saying with therapy, obviously it's to get to, you know, to the root of the behavior or the challenge. It's to, you know, build awareness as well. Super important as well. And offer alternative coping mechanisms that actually work. Things like self-compassion, stress management tools, emotion regulation, mindfulness. And also to provide a certain level of accountability and support for what we're doing.
Barry, I'm completely out of time, and I maybe want to squeeze in. No, it's all right. It's been very insightful already so far. Please, thank you for what you've said and shared already. I've got about 30 seconds that I can be able to squeeze in, and it's a question to the rest of us. Those that are listening and are thinking, man, I can't relate exactly with what you're talking about, but I think I see it in my daughter or in my cousin or in my partner. How can we as friends, family, support someone who's struggling with emotional eating without putting in that weight of judgment on them?
Of course. So I think it's approaching things in a non-judgmental kind of way. It's also attempting to break the guilt and shame that's so heavily linked with that and offering support. I think we've spoken before that so frequently with these kind of disorders or challenges or difficulties, people become incredibly isolated and alone. And it's breaking that feeling of alone, of being alone and loneliness and isolation, and rather looking at building support, building the relationships.
Barry, this has been very insightful, and I think for a number of people, they feel seen, and also a number of them feel like, man, I'm realizing that this isn't just a me thing, but there is support and help available should they be finding themselves in that place that they can lean into, and it won't be anything new and odd. If anything, there are systems in place to be able to assist them there. Thank you so much for your time, Barry. This has been an incredible conversation.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.